Welcome to the Roundtable Podcast, a ministry of Westside Church that seeks to help those who have questions of Jesus, His church, and the call to follow Him.
Well, I want to welcome everybody to this edition of the Roundtable Podcast. My name is Norm Funk. I'm the lead pastor of Westside Church. Joining me around the table this time. Last time we had Piper, so we've ramped things up. And we've got our two regulars back. James Bonney, who is elder, campus pastor, pastor of the North Shore campus specifically. But as we talk about all the time, we are one church meeting in two different locations. So James, good to have you back, man. How are you?
Good, good. Always a pleasure.
Nice.
Wow.
That's good.
Thank you.
Yes. And also joining us at the table, as per usual, is Matt Menzel, who is a pastor and elder, gives oversight and direction to many things, including community group ministries, one of our preachers and teachers, classes, and so forth. Matt, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure.
It is a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here.
It is a pleasure. Guys, before we get into doing something a little out of the ordinary today, we have another conference coming up. We had one a couple of weeks ago, the Look at the Book conference, which I thought was great. I don't know how you guys felt about it.
It was great.
Yeah. Piper was awesome. Very fruitful.
We have another one coming up, which we look forward to with anticipation. Paul Tripp with the What Were You Expecting Marriage conference. Maybe for some people, and I may be presuming this incorrectly, but I'll go ahead with it anyways. People don't know who Paul Tripp is. Paul Tripp is an author, counselor, pastor, and so on and so forth. Maybe, can you, one of you guys want to just take 10 seconds to give a little bio of him, why people should come and listen? I know I'm putting you on the spot in this, but I love doing so.
Sure, yeah. Right. Well, I discovered Paul Tripp early on when we were looking at doing different counseling ministries. And so he's one of the leading biblical counselors out of CCEF. He's written lots of books, lots of teaching. And him and his brother have written books on family, marriage. So you're going to get one of the most kind of, he really talks about the heart, the idolatry, very, very biblical conviction that what we need for counseling and marriage, everything we need for life and godliness, including marriage, will be in the Bible. Mm-hmm. So he's a Bible guy. And so I'm looking forward to just seeing how he unpacks, like, what's behind jealousy, what's behind a lot of the issues in marriage. So very biblical counseling.
Mm-hmm. He's the author of a book that I would say is a must read for anybody in ministry, considering ministry, called Dangerous Calling. Mm-hmm. It's one of those books where I think I have more underlined than not underlined. It's one of my faves. I go back to it every once in a while. And faves,
it's
and faves.
It's a pleasure to read
that's
that.
That's how we got to do it. So that's going to go.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So if you're listening to this and you're considering, have not yet signed up for that marriage conference, just go to wchurch.ca. You can sign up there. I heard there's about 400 people signed up thus far with a couple weeks to go. So we're excited about that. So hopefully it turns out to be great. He's also doing some things for some of our leaders. We'll get a podcast with him as well. So I look forward to asking him some questions pertaining to life and ministry and so on and so forth. So, yeah, so there you go. Well, with that little promo out of the way, what I want to do with you guys today is maybe get to know you guys a little bit more. I know we're in the middle of a James series. By the way, how are you feeling how that's going as you've been preaching through it? What stands out?
I've loved it. I thought James has been awesome so far. I've been hearing from community group leaders great things. It's really, obviously, it's a really practical book, but it's not a book that's devoid of really deep theology and a deep wrestling for all of us as we try to apply it. So I've loved it so far.
Yeah. It causes people to have to make decisions, see where their heart's at, check their heart, and very handles, like, very practical.
Yeah, it very handles.
Very
right.
Handles.
I like that.
I don't know, as I've preached through the book of James before many years ago, I really don't know why people find it as attractive as they do once they get into it. And what I mean by that is James is a book that says, read the word, do the word, which is as basic as it gets. And yet, if you were to take that same mentality as we do with any book, here's what it says, right. Now do it.
Yeah.
We just have some examples here, yeah. But that's his general outlay. Don't be mere readers, be doers. Mm-hmm. Don't be deceived in thinking that you can just read it and not do it. Mm-hmm. And yet people just eat that up. Mm-hmm. It is interesting. Mm-hmm. Maybe, it just comes down to the example setting. It's like, be readers, be doers, help the poor, help mm-hmm. the orphan, help the widow. Mm-hmm. Don't commit the sin of partiality, what we're going to look at this week. So, treat the poor as well as you treat the rich. Mm-hmm. And those kind of things. But it is interesting in light of all of our teaching, which we basically say, this is what the word says, now do it.
Yeah, totally agree. And, I think the thing for me too, wrestling through it, it's like the things that have to change in my life personally, wrestling through these last several weeks. Like, I've made some tangible just changes in my life. And that's what I like about James too, is the examples he gives you. Like James said, there's a lot of handles. Like, there's a lot of things you can grab onto, make small things. And we're trying to do that in our preaching, obviously, give small ways that you can adjust. But it's a book that calls you to action.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is actually really, that's really convicting. Like, it's a hard book to read well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think people love the, endurance. People... A lot, you come into church, you're under all various trials, mm-hmm. and the call to remain under, the call to come out with love for God, the call to come out stronger, more pure, mm-hmm. is I think it just brings people passion and hope to keep their eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
I agree. I guess my encouragement to people is, I think one of the only differences between James and Paul, for example, in his letters, is Paul usually spends a good portion of his time laying the theology. Mm-hmm. But he gets into the doing stuff as well,
yeah.
right? James presumes the theology. Yeah. He goes, look, you've been born again. You've been brought forth by the word. Now do it. Paul goes, let me spend three chapters telling you who you are in Christ.
Right. Yeah.
Therefore, or by the mercies of God, now do this. Live mm-hmm. like this with your families. Live like this with your spouses. Mm-hmm. Live like this with your leadership. Live like this with the world. Live like this in your prayer life. There's that too. And I guess I want to encourage people as well. There's a lot of books like James that mm-hmm. call us to do the word. Mm-hmm. Don't just hear the word. It's interesting to me in that. But anyways, I don't want to get sidetracked on that, but I'm loving the series too. Look forward to this Sunday going through the first 13 verses of chapter 2. So back to what I said before, wanting to get to know you guys a little bit, more importantly, letting people who are listening to this get to know you guys a little bit, maybe starting with you, James. I know most people, perhaps, in this ministry know your story, but I know that people... the dozens that download this, the literally dozens. Like, we couldn't do it without both of you.
The Jesus only had 12, man.
Yeah. And one of them was a bozo.
We're good.
So as long as we've got a good 11, you get rid of the rest. James, maybe tell us your story a little bit more specifically. You've got an interesting beginning because your parents and the kind of life you lived before. Maybe share your story in regards to that. And I'm talking specifically, man, you spent some time overseas doing mm-hmm. things along those lines.
Sure. I was actually the first white boy born in a village in Manado, Indonesia. So my mom said, they pinched my cheek every second because mm-hmm. they just couldn't believe it. So born in Indonesia, missionary kid. So spent most, for the first 10 years of my life, avoiding snake bites, jumping in jungles. I remember we would drive by churches that were burnt to the ground and hear my dad preach. I remember going to church in a flood. I was up to my chest and was still hearing preaching, going into villages. So it was kind of that upbringing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I did that for 10 years. And then my mom got MS. And at the same time, they cut our visa, kicked us out of the country. And,
she got MS. Okay.
Yeah, and then that led us back to Ontario, where all my family's from.
And what did your dad do? What did your dad do when you came back?
He started church. He pastored a church, Wyoming Baptist Church.
Huh.
Yeah.
And where are they now?
Town. They're in Neepawa, just outside of Winnipeg.
Oh, yeah. Is that the Paw?
I think so, yeah. I think it's called the Paw.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he did 17 years in Wyoming Baptist and then moved over. But faithful, Bible, teacher, small town of 2000, just a good shepherd. So I learned a lot of my shepherding love for people from him.
Do you ever see yourself doing missionary work like that in the next stage of life when you're, like, do you ever get that
You know what,
call
I always
of-
say, Nikki doesn't like this, but I always say, if she dies and my kids are out, I think I'd want to go risk some things if the Lord willed out there. Yeah.
And Matt, you were born just west of Indonesia.
Just west. My story,
First white boy.
My story's
first
a little
white
more.
Boy, Kelowna?
Right. Kelowna. My story's more interesting, actually.
How is it more interesting?
No, I just mean the beginning. I actually didn't grow up in Kelowna, though. I grew up in Ladner, which is like Indonesia.
Like,
I really don't have anything to say. I don't have anything to say that compares to what James just said.
You ever go to church in a flood in Ladner?
Actually, I remember a flood, but that was on the way to Maple Ridge.
The ridge.
Pitt River there.
But fast forward, you were born, but man, you had an interesting sort of high school / early college age life.
Yeah, for me, you know, I went to a little, actually just here in Vancouver on Inverness, a little church called Pilgrim Baptist. It was very German. My oma and opa were there for, my dad was brought up going there. It's now, I think it's it's not German anymore. All the German people have actually died off. My oma and opa are still there, but they've brought in a whole new generation, a whole new ethnicity, which is really cool. But anyways, so I grew up just, you know, that kind of kid, just suit and tie every day at church and that kind of thing, or every Sunday. But in grade five, there was a trigger for me where when everything changed, it was really, I have a couple points. One is a couple points in my life where things were really transitioned hard. And one of those, as you mentioned, was in high school. One of those was in grade five, where I just decided I didn't want to be that kid anymore. And so I just didn't like it anymore.
Yeah.
I went to a private school in Ladner, Delta Christian.
Hey.
Yeah. And so I went there K-7, actually with your niece. No, she didn't go there, but I was with her at Cedar Park. And so I just made that decision. Big change. I remember, you know, being hauled into the principal's office and then being, you know, we don't want you at this school anymore, that kind of thing. And so transitioned to grade eight into high school. And then that's when we moved to Kelowna. My parents saw my sister and I get into a lot of trouble, decided it was time to go. We moved and got in a lot more trouble there. And yeah, you know, high school for me was just a completely different world. It was a very intentional thing, but I remember the moment where I just decided, you know, I never again would I subscribe to the things my parents have brought me up in unless I had a personal conviction about it.
Right.
And so that just opened up every door for the next several years. Yeah, I was really angry as a kid.
And your come back to Jesus moment happened when?
Yeah, so
why?
It's interesting. I did a pastoral internship out of high school.
How'd that happen?
You're skipping something.
It's kind of confusing because I'm going through all that stuff. I was really angry, really, really messy. But we went to this church plant in Kelowna called Sunridge. Pastor Mike there, Mike Clausen, he's still a mentor of mine today. I would consider him that. And he kind of just saw something in me and just kind of took me under his wing. And so he saw how angry I was. I think that's maybe what he liked about me in a sense, and took me under his wing and let me preach, gave me the pulpit. So I was 17 there when I first, you know, preached at our church. We had two gatherings going at the time, that kind of thing. And so that became kind of a usual thing. And then 18, he brought me on a pastoral internship. I was doing highway construction, got my carpentry ticket, all that kind of stuff. But
okay, so wait, you reject Jesus.
Yeah, I'm a little confused.
Five,
yeah. Something's going on.
And you're not following him.
I wouldn't
you don't
say
come
I reject
back
Jesus.
Okay,
I just,
all right.
Yeah, you know, I just like to,
I'm done with the,
I wanted
the religion.
To push authority. I couldn't handle authority in my life anymore. Mm. And so I started to reshape what I thought it meant to be a Christian.
Okay.
And then that led me into this place. And, you know, in high school, it's cliche, right? But the drugs and the partying, I mean, for me, it was just, and then after high school.
So big you, hair, are,
wait,
yeah,
are,
big
are
hair,
you
lots
of
hair,
big hair. Hair. You did have, were you like partying Saturday and then preaching Sunday, or when does that switch?
No, it's even worse. Okay. I mean, yeah, it's, you know, it's, if my life is young, right? I'm 30. but I have some regrets for sure that go back to that. Some things that this really, really actually are very painful for me to think about. But yeah, I was really two-faced. You know, I was leading the church and preaching in the church, and my life did not match up in any way, to what was going on. And I just have a couple memories that just brings back. But yeah, some hard things. Very angry. then Mike said, hey, let's, you know, we're kind of like this, our internship kind of came to an end, and there wasn't a next step that I wanted to take there that, that he was opening up for me. And so I was angrier. And I just went off the rails at that point. Then that, that was when for me, from about 18 to 20, those 2 years, that was ugly. That was really ugly. And, also a big, and I'm taking up all the time, but
you are, that's good. But that's okay, no, man.
But at 18, I also got sick. So that was, that's kind of tied in here. It's a layer. And so 18, I started, it was the summer after high school. I just started losing a lot of blood. I just started having a lot of bleeding when I would go to the washroom. Sorry to be graphic, but that's, and the doctors told me you probably have cancer. It ended up being a disease that they had no cause or cure for. So it just gave me handfuls of steroids. I was drunk every day for about that 2 year period and high on all kinds of different stuff. So I'm taking handfuls of steroids, working construction, doing that, just messy, very, very messy. Very angry. That was probably the ugliest 2 years I hope I ever have to experience that way. Then 20 hits. So 2 years after getting sick, 20 hits and my body gives up. So that was where I spent the first 6 month period on my back where I literally couldn't move. And that's where everything changed. Like that moment at 20 years old was where it was instantaneous. Like I hit my back. I had to quit my job. I had to sell, you know, my motorcycle, do all that kind of stuff at that point. And I just realized how much of a mess I was and how I could lead my own life the way that I wanted to. And I have, God has made me no promises. He owes me nothing. I always had this idea that he was going to do something with me. And I realized at that moment, he owes me nothing. I have no right to anything, and if I want to lead my own life, I can do that, but I have nothing promised to me. And it was that moment where I realized, from then on, every ounce of strength, every breath that God gives me, because I didn't have any promise to me at that point either, would be used for Him. And so I didn't touch any alcohol I didn't touch a drop for the next 4 years. All my drugs, everything went away, and I just headlong after God and haven't looked back. But that was 20. Yeah,
you've told me that you deal with your condition, you live with your condition still.
Yeah,
that and you can make sure I'm accurate in this, that the normal body has how many pints of blood in it?
They don't actually deal in pints. I was wrong about that, but units.
Units. How many units of blood does the normal body have?
Well, I think the male has between 15 and 18 units.
And what do you normally have in you?
Well, yeah. So the last count, I was about half of where I needed to be. So I get regular blood transfusions because I still have this internal bleeding problem. So I got four blood transfusions a month ago or something like that. It must have been. But I could have used like several more. But that's not how it works. They don't
top you.
Not like a gas station.
Right.
No.
But blood, yeah. I mean, I'm no doctor.
Yeah.
But blood brings forth oxygen to our body. It transports oxygen, which we need, obviously. So you're dealing at times with about half the amount of blood in your body, thereabouts, compared to the normal average healthy male.
Yeah, I drop to that level for sure. And there's lots of, I've been through several major surgeries, so there's a lot of pain. You know, so with the weakness and tiredness, your body kind of adjusts to that. You kind of develop a new normal. But, you know, the pain is an issue for sure. The sleeplessness is an issue for sure. There's a lot of things. But these, I've spent, you know, a year and 7 months in bed. In 2008, they told me I had a week left, you know, to live, that kind of thing. And so there's been a perspective that's come with that and a gift that God's given me with that. It's been invaluable to me. God's used that. I wouldn't be in ministry today if it wasn't for that. Those things, they're hard, but they've been such incredible gifts. So, yeah.
James, what brought you up to BC? So Indonesia, the PAW.
I'll give you the fast version.
Ontario as well.
Yep.
Now you're here. Tell us a little bit about that in a couple of minutes.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Same experience. I remember having a memory where I was just drunk out of my mind, but preaching, telling all my friends how much they need the Lord. So like a really weird kind of after Indonesia upbringing, missionary kid, pastor's kid, but completely two-faced, mm-hmm. go to youth group, live far from. And then I was 17 on a mission trip, and I had a moment where there was a reality. If I'm real, it's either everything or mm-hmm. nothing. Yeah. And I, through a series of events and trying to, I was actually not a Christian when I was trying to pursue my wife. Nikki was a Christian. She said, I can't date a non-Christian. So I was like, all right, I got to figure all this out. So it was like this perfect storm. I was the kind of kid in high school and student council, loud. And as soon as I became a Christian, everything changed. I remember going to parties and just stopping and just preaching them. And the parties would just stop. I remember going to malls, beaches. My dad's like, you need to go to Bible college. On my breaks, me and my friend, we would go to churches in our small town and just pray for the pastors yeah. because they needed our prayers, right? Yeah. A bunch of high school kids.
So then
my dad says, you gotta, I wanted to be in ministry. I knew mm-hmm. I was going to be, thought I'd be a youth pastor my whole life. Like just thought I was that kid. I knew youth ministry. I knew it. So I went to Moody in Chicago. It's kind of close to, did 3.5 years there and still all the way through. I kind of didn't take the youth ministry course because it was just like, here's how to engage youth. I wanted to learn the Bible, so took all Bible, graduated, married Nikki, and then I had this mind that you needed to take great people and put them into dead and dying areas. And so I thought I was the mm-hmm. king of the crop, very arrogant. So this church in southern Indiana nice. Calls me up. Says, hey, we're looking for a youth guy who can lead worship and change the church and change everything. I was like, I'm that guy. I can change everything. I'll change it. You should hear me. I'll change things. So I get there. Turns out it's a King James only independent Baptist church.
Oh, no, that's perfect.
That was perfect for me.
You're talking about a really conservative church in southern Indiana?
No. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Not me, though.
I remember my first week. Oh, you can't wear that. Oh, well, this is not going to be good. But God really used that because all the way through Moody had no real bent towards studying church, the mm-hmm. theology of church, what we call ecclesiology. And so in that environment, God led me to books like, Wayne Grudem's, just learning what is the church, because mm-hmm. I was trying to figure out what is this thing, trying to lead up. Long story short, it was in that environment, really felt a strong call to love the church and love mm-hmm. elders and love what the church is. God released me from that youth ministry passion. At the same time, just almost felt like I was breaking up with my girlfriend, like just mm-hmm. this weird heaviness on my chest. Would pray and fast and thought I even had a brain thing. So
what do you mean?
Well, yeah,
like, well, like a brain, like a brain. I thought, like, because I was having weird emotional thoughts, like a brain.
Thought I even had a brain.
You guys,
thing, man.
I even like. I remember this. I've told this story once, but we had dogs, so I remember walking my dog, and I was just like, God, what are you doing?
Is
like,
this
you
got
to speak
thing?
To me. Well, no, because I'm emotionally.
I know this story.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Tell this
so
story.
I'm like, God, you got to speak to me. Right. I need to know what this emotional thing is, and. And so my dog he's like crazy, like just bullets everywhere,
yeah.
never stops. So you're always trying to pull a leash, right? And I'm like, okay, God, man, use the dog, anything. I just need a word from you. This is true. This is a true story. The dog stops. He never stops. He never stops. He stops. I'm like,
you know, right now people are listening going, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
yeah.
happened to
Been
me.
There.
Oh,
Been
yeah.
There.
Okay. So finish
it. So my dog said this. No, I was there. My dog stops, turns his head, kind of like Chucky, and I'm like, okay, Jesus, I'm serious. I'm like, Jesus, no one's going to believe me. Don't speak to the dog. But
it's
I was like,
Balaam's
you could.
Ass.
That's what it was. He comes, like, the dog comes up to me, puts his paws, we're face to face, and then just
and the
licks
dog
me.
Oh,
no, he didn't. No, he did not.
He licked you.
But, okay, so.
That's not
he
quite
me.
The same.
I didn't know it's the weird, yeah, anticlimactic. Or whatever the word is. But here's how I got here. Here's how I got here. So I remember I woke up one morning and just felt like you're going to start a church. Suppress it for a while. And I remember asking the Lord where. Vancouver lit up in my head.
Hmm.
That was
and you were
new, that was new
that
for me.
Indiana
Southern Indiana,
on, yeah.
working through all this angst.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on the Acts 29 website because those were the only guys who I knew who were planting at the time. Found Johnny Thiessen's name. Emailed him. He's part of the C2C network now out in Calgary. Emailed him. He was planning a church in Abbotsford at the time. He met up with me in Seattle, said, this looks like a call. Go home, tell your wife. Mm. At that point, we had a job opportunity in, like, Detroit, Michigan. It was the youth group dream. I was like, 500 kids, here's a house. Or go to a city you don't know anyone mm-hmm. and obey God.
So how long had you been in Indiana at that point?
A year and a half.
Okay.
So we went and talked to her. The Lord was working on her heart. She wanted to get back into school, which is all coming out of UBC. And we just said, let's spend our lives like this. Let's live by faith. Mm-hmm. I think this is what God wants us to do. We set a date. Mm-hmm. We prayed and fasted that date and said, we'll make a decision that date. We were in a coffee shop. A lot of praying and fasting. I said, okay, what do you think God wants you to do? And she's like, we should go. And I was like, okay, we're going. And we started crying together, hugging mm-hmm. each other, packed up a, you know, U-Haul, finished mm-hmm. well there, and drove out, mm-hmm. knocked on Johnny's door at 11 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. And we're here.
Awesome. What? How did you get down here, Matt? Yeah. How did you get back from, you're in Kelowna, you're with Mike,
yeah.
you're at Southridge.
Sunridge, yeah.
Sunridge.
So I actually, I finished my carpentry. I did my apprenticeship. And then I was managing a company for my buddy called Big Steel Box. You see those big ocean containers all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
So I was managing Vernon for us, working that job. Was married to Melissa at this point. Greatest gift. Like, marrying Melissa was the easiest thing in the world for me. It just happened so easily, so fast, and it was just clear God had done it. So we're married for about a year, and then all of a sudden, I started to have this wrestle. It might have been just before a year, but I started to have this wrestle. Like, I feel like God's calling us to something, but I don't know if we're supposed to mm-hmm. chase that or if we just kind of keep doing what we're doing. And then he kind of brings, because Melissa was working, we wanted to have a family, kids, all that kind of stuff. I had a good job, and it was, my job was going to get better and better as time went on. And so we were comfortable. I was very sick. When we were mm-hmm. first married, Melissa was literally helping me in and out of the shower in the morning, on and off my clothes. Every day I would come home, eat, throw up, go to bed. I wouldn't sleep. And, it was horrible. I thought I was just like fighting with my regular disease with an extra flu or something. Anyways, we get on our knees in our living room. I remember it so well. And Melissa and I, we've been talking about our calling for weeks. And so I say, we need to pray. We get on our knees and in our living room and say, okay, God, if you want to change anything in our lives, you go ahead and change it. We're going to submit to you. So just, and if you don't change anything, we're good. You just go ahead and do whatever you want. In the next 2 weeks, everything changed. So I went to work one day. I ended up collapsing. That's when I wound up in the hospital in November 2008 when they told me I would have had about a week left to live. That happened. Wow. In the same 2 week period, I had all of our money and all of our credit plus more. To the tune of about $40,000 stolen through identity theft.
Wow.
So our money go, no access to anything. Lost my job. Obviously, I had to leave my job, even though they were very gracious to me. They would have kept me on, but I was out of commission for the next year and 7 months. So no job. Couldn't afford to live in our apartment. Melissa had to move. I'm in the hospital, stuck in isolation So in isolation, hospital, all that stuff.
So God answered that prayer.
So we're laying in the hospital, just feeling terrified and over the moon excited because we know he's doing. I'm 170 pounds right now. I was 106 pounds at my lowest. So just a skeleton. I remember my mom and dad just coming in and just weeping because that was their son and my wife and I just couldn't wait to see what God was doing. A friend of mine brought me a whole bunch of Driscoll sermons on a laptop.
Yeah.
And a laptop full of just Acts 29 stuff, church plans, and we started listening. Mike Clausen from Sunridge had told me since I was young that he's just said, you're a church planner. He just always said that to me and to Melissa after we got married. And so we just started reading and God called. God just started to call. So I had a relationship with Mike. He was on the board of what is now C2C at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that got me in connection with Gord, who heads up C2C.
Right.
And so that's kind of how that all happened. And then we were up there working with Metro. It was a church we planted. We helped plant with Lawrence East.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were up there doing quarter-time Sunridge, quarter-time Metro, quarter-time or half-time studies. And then at that point, Gord said, hey, I want you to go to Willingdon. So that's how we came back to Vancouver.
Then reality and then here.
Yeah. It was really simple. We knew we couldn't plant in Kelowna. We just knew, I listened to as much Keller as anybody else. And so we knew we had to go where the people are and that culture flows outward from cities.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew the closest city to us was Vancouver. So we knew it was Vancouver. And luckily, this is where I grew up. So I'm very much at home here. And Melissa was instantly at home here as well. So knew it had to be here. Went to Willingdon, then to reality for a year. Great experiences there. And then Norm called me up and invited me to come out of a whole series of events, which was God's gracious gift to us. And now we've been here for 3 years and have no plans on ever going anywhere else.
Well, I appreciate hearing that. I've heard that story a few times, but it's fantastic. Well, both your stories are great, James.
Just, well, you know, thank you. Your story, if we is had great to too. Rank them,
well, you're both in the
James
top
James has started
two.
Out like with Indonesia.
Yeah,
you know.
I've only got a few minutes left, or at least a few minutes that I want to take.
Do we get to hear your story? Or do people? Is that a given? That's just people know it.
You know, they can buy my autobiography, yeah. Memoirs. Yeah. Let me just finish off this way. You guys are here. James, as I said on the front end, James, you're on the North Shore at our campus there. Matt, you're now here. You've thought about church planting, and that may happen at some point. It's just at this stage and season of your life, you're here and feel good about that, as do we. But let me end this way, just to kind of put a period on the end of that sort of discussion, and just ask one specific thing. And one of the things that I really appreciate about both of you, because it's a rare thing, is that you're guys that are relatively young. Mm-hmm. You're in the city of Vancouver, which is far from a conservative place. And yet, in spite of those types of things, you're lovers of God's word. You're lovers of the proclamation of God's word. You believe that it is, in fact, God's word. You teach it as it being every jot and tittle being God's word. Every nook and cranny is God's word. Where did that come from? I know God's grace. I get that. But were there some specifics in the midst of God's grace that God used to stir that in you? Did you ever have a wrestle with it? What is... led you to this point where you hold up the Bible on a Sunday, you read it throughout the week and go, God, you're speaking to me. I need now to live this, which goes already full circle back to our study in James. Mm-hmm. We do it because it's God's word. So maybe James, where did that come from for you?
Yeah, well, I know I have one memory, many memories of this one memory, but every day I would wake up, get ready for school, my dad would be in his chair reading his Bible, and he believed it was true. Mm. And I think of that, I think Paul's letter to Timothy, remember like where you learned this from? Mm-hmm. So he had a big view of the Bible. So when I became a Christian, it's almost like I had that view. And then honestly, it is just every day when you open that book, you really... I mean, I can't tell you, well, you've experienced it many times, but you'll open the Bible and it's like God is speaking right to you. And so it's just been, I think, a long period of discipline and integrity to seeing that what the Bible says about the Bible is true, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, it's living and active. And so honestly, it's been through experiencing the book, experiencing God in the book. Ever since I became a Christian, I've been in the Word like my dad. So that really shaped me. And then great Bible teaching and preaching. I remember the same idea. I was at Moody when Mark Driscoll was starting to come out. And I remember thinking, I want to preach the Bible like that. I remember walking into James McDonald. He's at Harvest out in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I'd never heard expository preaching. Verse by verse, here's what it says. Here's what it says in context. Mm-hmm. So that blew my mind. So that gave me a huge passion for how do I do that? I want to do that.
How about you, Matt? Thanks,
yeah,
James.
Same memory with my dad. My dad's Bible was very, very imprinted on me. You know, I still love that Bible today. I know where his Bible is, and it's very marked up. And so that I had that as a kid too. But then something happened. You know, after that point at 20, kind of turning, everything kind of changing. You know, that anger that I've kind of had that kind of drove me as I was a kid kind of drove me in this regard as well. I was so sick, I went with a friend. We went, you know, to the States and started traveling, searching for answers to this health problem. And so started, you know, I had people lay hands on me from all over the world and all different kind of streams of theology. Went and saw some Benny Hinn stuff and just was searching, trying to find healing. How can God be good? And this is happening to me. How can he? Those kinds of questions were very, very real for me at that point. I saw so much damage. I just saw so much damage, so much brokenness. There were ministries out here, even in the Lower Mainland, that I was spending a lot of time with and going to a lot of conferences with, and I saw so much. There was just something in there that grieved me. Hmm. And then actually John Piper, I started listening to him, and the complete flip side of the health and wealth and the prosperity gospel and that the center of the universe is me, the complete flip side of that is that the center of everything is God, and he's sovereign and in control. And if he's withholding healing from you, it's not because he's waiting for you to do something or waiting for you to figure something out. It's because he's in control and he's good. And I started to find that through the ministry of John Piper, actually in the Bible. And that's where I always had a love of God's word, and especially a love of the local church. So those things were always together for me, those two pieces. But then I started to realize we don't have the right to go outside of the word. We don't have the right to make stuff up. We don't have the right to build our own structures and our own paradigms. So then it just began a pursuit of biblical faithfulness. What does that look like? And that's a pursuit that I'm still on
right
today, wanting to live more and more faithfully to the word.
Well, guys, I could talk a lot more about this. I appreciate, and I've said this to you, I think individually, I've said it publicly, I appreciate God's grace to me personally and to this ministry, that he has drawn good men and women to it that love his word. And one of the things, and I know my time is done here, one of the things that I think is important for people to hear when we talk about believing that the Bible is God's word, it doesn't mean that it's easy for us or easier for us, that there is a removal of challenge in reading it and doing it. Mm-hmm. There's things you just butt up. In fact, at times it becomes far more difficult because you know it's not simply, well, I don't have to regard that. No, God is speaking to me through this. I cannot disregard this. So people, I think it's easy for you because you believe it's God's word. Mm-hmm. No, I would put it the other way. Sometimes it can be far more difficult because I believe it's God's word, especially going back to my comment about living in this city. You butt up against things that make you so counter to the culture where it's hard. You will receive lashes and resistance and disdain. Mm-hmm. And yet at the same time, I love the gracious act of God in my belief about it, because that is a gift.
Yeah.
I mean, I've read, like you have, I've read thousands of pages over the years on the canon of Scripture, on the authenticity of it, on the manuscripts and the archaeology behind it and the prophetic utterances and the anomaly of those things. But at the end of the day, I know it's a gift of God that we can look at it and study it. So anyways, I hope for those of you who are listening, this is, you get a little insider look at these guys that I talk to that minister perhaps with you, if you're part of this ministry. If you're not, well, you got a little snapshot of them as well. Like I said, in a couple of weeks, there'll be another podcast, one where I'll have some time spending time with Paul Tripp. If you are wondering about this ministry of Westside Church, you can find more information about us on wchurch.ca. Check out the information specifically about the marriage conference. Any messages that you want to download, you can download from there. You can find the North Shore campus on that website and the Vancouver campus. But thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for your time again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Roundtable Podcast. For more information about the ministry of Westside Church, go to wchurch.ca.